kind of want to be on best behavior when going to meet someone who has written a popular book titled Loving Kindness, especially when the author is a longtime practitioner of peaceful meditation. But Sharon Salzberg, who divides her time between New York City and the central Massachusetts town of Barre, quickly put me at ease. And it wasn't just her relaxed manner and good humor, it was her whole philosophy of trying to treat others with compassion. I wondered how someone with that intention views the other person.
I think we're seeing that person as full of potential for change. Not to say that they're necessarily a nasty person and need to change according to our lights, but we see that there's a capacity within all of us, without exception, for movement, for growth, for transformation, for understanding, for love, for compassion. And even those times when we're very far away from that capacity, when we're not living it, I think the capacity is there. And so rather than seeing somebody as like all bad or all good or distant from us, having nothing to do with us and sort of in a box somewhere, we see this fabric of life, I think, really a sense of connection, not necessarily liking, but connection. And all in flow, all in movement.
All in flow and movement?
Yeah, I mean, I think in that sense that we're all composites of many facets. We're all full of desire, full of love, full of rage, full of fear. And certainly we don't act on every impulse that comes up in our minds. I think any one of us can look back at a time and say, well, it was because of my background, it was because of my education, it was because of my training, it was because of sheer good luck that I didn't act on that impulse, that I was about to do that terrible thing and the phone rang, and thank goodness it did. You know, so there's a certain sense that we have of really being connected. Not that we like everybody or approve of everybody, but it's knowing that our lives have something to do with one another.
I think most people want to treat others with basic decency and sensitivity, and yet it is so easy for us humans to slip up and behave coldly and sometimes hurtfully mm-hmm. toward others. So what happens there? What blocks us from attaining a higher level of behavior in our interactions with other people?
I think of it as almost like the creation of the other, not necessarily through anger or prejudice or bias, but just indifference. We come upon people who serve a function in our lives, like the checkout person at the supermarket or something like that, and we tend to look right through them rather than have a certain sensitivity, like this is a person who wants to be happy just as I do, who's vulnerable to change, to loss, just as I am. But more commonly, they're a little bit of an extension of the cash register or something like that, or even an impediment to our getting home on time. So there isn't much training, and I think it actually is a training in empathy, in compassion, in just that recognition. And it wouldn't take much. It's like we have to pause. We have to pause and really look at that person. We have to think about them, not as an object, but as a person. And so, too, we can extend that to many, many people.
And it doesn't take a very long pause to notice that there's another living, breathing human being here.
It doesn't take a very long pause. Isn't that poignant?
Let's discuss the practice of loving kindness meditation. What is that?
It actually is a form of meditation, of contemplation, where we concentrate on wishing ourselves well and wishing well to others, not for the sake of having a phony kind of weird feeling, like everything gets all sentimental and mushy, but to really stretch our attention. So going back to the example I was using before, if there are many beings like that checkout person at the supermarket, we're used to looking right through or discounting, we actually take a moment to connect to them, and we think something like, may you be happy, may you find peace. We use phrases like that, silent phrases like that, you know, kind of go around the street and the supermarket and all these places saying that out loud. We use silent phrases like that as a way of stretching our attention so that we can move out of the habitual rut.
So what happens to the person who has that kind, positive thought about the other when we introduce into our intentions, you know, may you be happy, may this be a good thing for you? What happens to the person who wishes that on the other?
One thing that happens is that we have much more of a sense of connection. We're not so afraid. We don't feel so alienated or estranged.
Not so intimidated by somebody who's a stranger.
Yeah, and we don't have, we actually notice somebody. It's like the phrases become the vehicle for our attention, so that instead of just thinking, hurry up, would you, you know, I got to get somewhere, we have just a kind of consideration of that person and an appreciation, like, here's a life. I don't know their story. I don't know anything about them. I don't know their triumphs. I don't know their tribulations. But I can guess they want to be happy, just like I want to be happy, and that things probably aren't so easy the way they're not so easy for me, and that in some way we're in this together, we share this planet, and that I may not win by you losing, actually. I can see the world in a very different way than that.